This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Absolutely. When it happens that often, think that there's a correlation between those two things.
I don't know why his handling of George Pickens would make anybody confident that he was going to handle Shedeur Sanders or Deion by extension well. Like, I don't know why you would give him the benefit of the doubt. He gets that, like, blanket benefit of the doubt in the national media, and it's like they don't watch closely enough to see what happens, or they twist themselves into knots to say, well, he got the most out of AB, and boy, I bet George Pickens would be really acting out for another coach. He's acting out here. I wanted them to take Sanders at 83. I wanted them to take him at 123. Those are the two picks they could have had him before he actually got picked. I think Caleb Johnson could end up being a solid player. I think Sawyer could end up being really good, depending on like how much usage he gets. It is, I will say for my own part, like strictly, I know we did the big thing yesterday, where it was me saying I want what's good for business and Shedeur would have been great for business. Taking that completely out of the equation, the longer and further he fell in this draft, the less I wanted them to pick him, because it was obvious teams were making the same value judgment you just brought up. If he's picked in a place that makes it look like he'll be the backup, why would you want to deal with just the everything that comes with him, that you know comes with him? Yes, you put him in an NFL locker room. Some of that has to go away just by nature. But are he and his family, his dad, any of his siblings going to be silent if they think like he's outplaying somebody? You know what's going to happen in Brown's minicamp, right? If he's spinning it and Kenny Pickett looks like he's not, oh, Shedeur Sanders, he looks like he's at worst QB3. He's outplaying Dylan Gabriel. Gabriel looks like he doesn't belong in an NFL camp.
Oh, they put a big microscope on themselves the whole season by taking him.
And whatever team did take him was going to do that.
Yep.
And the funnier part is, I think the microscope's bigger because of where they took him in the draft. If he's a first-round pick, whether people believe he deserved to be one or not, you're always going to have the microscope. You're the first-round pick, or one of them for your team, right? You're in the fifth round picking this guy, and you know he's going to be the single most scrutinized player in the class? The most followed player?
There's going to be more questions asked about Sanders than about Cam Ward, who went with
by
the first
far,
pick.
By far.
Like Stefanski's going to have to deal with that more than Callahan is in Tennessee.
Callahan's just going to get like, hey, how's Cam doing? How's he progressing? Stefanski's going to have a whole different set of questions. To go back to what you said about the prank call, Ulbrich's gotten the big fine. Personal fine. The team's gotten the fine. He's said he's been very penitent. Like, the kid is, I'm sure you're never going to hear Jax Ulbrich's name again. Abdul Carter got prank called.
Yep.
Third overall pick in the draft.
So did Tyler Warren.
Mason
Graham.
But like, because, and who knows, maybe the Abdul Carter prank calls were just as like mean-spirited, or like,
they probably were. The Mason Graham video
around
that I saw going around, like, somebody prank called him and said, I think you're getting drafted by the Giants. And he got excited and they said, oh, wait, no, you're not, because you effing stink, or something like that, and hung up on him. So it's not like Shedeur Sanders was singled out here. This is something that's apparently been happening for a few years and happened throughout the draft. But we just hear about
Sanders.
You're only
hearing about his, and you're only hearing from the media, it seems. And this is partly because the people who decide what people want to hear talked about don't think that people care that Mason Graham got a prank call, or even Abdul Carter. Those people, you're hearing it from the media, like it's this miscarriage of justice against Shedeur. I think it's a stupid thing for the kid to have done, this Jax Ulbrich goofball. I think any of these guys making prank calls are big loser energy. But only one person appears to be the victim here who was done incredibly wrong. Like, nah, it sucks for Abdul Carter and Mason Graham, even though they both got picked in the top five. Just because Shedeur Sanders got picked at 144 doesn't mean like it sucks more for him than those guys.
I think we have how many phone lines? 12? 10. What's the number?
Eight.
We have eight.
Then there's just four that sit there. Well, I guess those are the ones we use.
Can we find eight people out there who think the Steelers made a colossal mistake in passing on Shedeur Sanders? That when it's all said and done, not taking this guy and taking another running back and taking an edge rusher when you already have Highsmith and Watt, that mistake is going to come back to bite them, and it's going to be made even worse because the Browns took him. and he's going to haunt the Browns the same way Roethlisberger haunted the Browns for taking Kellen Winslow over him. Are there actually Steelers fans out there? Can we find eight in the next 5 minutes who actually are looking back on this draft and saying they blew it? They could have had this quarterback who got disrespected and slagged because of the way he interviewed, not because of the way he played, because of who his dad is. And if the Steelers had taken him, they would have their franchise quarterback, and they would have had an all-time deal on him in the third or fourth round. 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. Hopefully everybody out there is listening, who's listening today, is okay. After the storms that whipped through while we were on the air yesterday, I saw that an institution in Pittsburgh, Fiore's Pizzeria, had its roof blown off.
Brutal.
But the picture made it look like they could almost stay open because there were...
There was a subroof there.
Yeah, is that crazy? My dad used to do a lot of roofing stuff.
I
worked at a company where we would do truss supports and things of that nature.
Oh, truss supports, big truss.
Yeah, I worked in the warehouse there.
Blue collar as it gets. I think the problem with that is there's no, obviously, like shingles on the roof or anything. There's no actual roof, so all that wood or whatever.
So indefinitely
there,
a Pittsburgh institution is closed?
Well, I would just think that if it rains again, like say tomorrow, you don't want that wood getting wet.
Well, how do they keep, so what do they do now? Put a giant tarp on it?
Build that Chernobyl thing that keeps that big steel sarcophagus that keeps Chernobyl
from
getting out.
Yeah, but that's not realistic right now. Like, what do they do for the time being?
Could you just put a giant ass tent up around it that just makes sure the water slopes off?
You're not getting it. Where are you finding a tent that big?
That's my point. I think they probably have to quickly
get the
roof done. Yeah.
Wow.
I know of a roofing company that does excellent work.
Oh, is that right?
I do.
I think you're going to be talking about them at 325.
20 minutes or so, yeah.
Business might be booming for them. All right, 412-928-9370. I do want to hear from the people on the Shedeur Sanders situation. I do think it's BS that the dad got fined, that Ulbrich got fined $100,000 for this. I really do.
You think they should have just fined the kid directly, his son? I keep calling him a kid. He's 21.
I don't think anybody should have been fined. I think the NFL like talks to the Falcons and talks to Jeff Ulbrich, and they get to the bottom of like how the information got shared.
I think he's getting fined, and they're getting fined differently than obviously the people who prank called Abdul Carter, because no one knows who those people are.
Well, right, they're not NFL employees.
It's another team on draft pick kind of like violence, so to speak.
But it's not someone who works for the team. Like, just, we kind of did this yesterday talking about Will Howard.
Did they find the Chiefs for Reed's idiot kid? Well,
I don't,
that was
no,
different because he was
so.
Drinking. He was admitting to drinking
like,
on the job.
Let's say Jeff Ulbrich's, you know, nephew did this. Would he get fined for that? Like, technically, it's still someone who's related
now,
to him.
Now it's the we've got the companion question: Do you root for this team if one of your relatives is?
That's
on
what
it?
I'm saying. Like,
do you find this
like,
man?
Where I get the responsibility clause being put into effect here because it's the man's son. But if he had been sloppy with the information and like a neighbor got it, would he be getting fined $100,000 and the Falcons are getting fined $250,000 for it?
No, I think because if it's out of the family, even if it's the neighbor,
but it's still a security breach.
Yeah, I don't think my personal opinion is they would not be fining.
They are all in 2026 on moving up and trying to get what they believe to be their next franchise quarterback, or certainly their starter for a number of years. And so I think their plan all along has been geared that way.
More from Dulac on Rich Eisen's show. Doesn't hurt that the draft is in Pittsburgh. I really think that has a lot to do with it. Circling 2026 is the year to draft the next quarterback savior. Are there Steelers fans out there who think that guy could have been Shedeur Sanders and the Steelers are going to regret passing on him? 412-928-9370. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And this segment is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar. The fan beer of the month is Cindy's Hard Mountain Tea from Cinderlands Brewing, benefiting partners for quality. All the mock draft and draft guys are already putting the Steelers in next year's draft, already linking them to quarterbacks. CBS Sports' Josh Edwards has the Steelers taking Nico Amoliva with their first-round pick. I'm gonna be pissed off if that happens.
Yeah, that'll go over well. The guy who has made
I'm gonna be livid if that happens.
Made a complete mess of his college situation by pursuing more NIL money. I'm sure people here would be thrilled.
Donnie, I'm gonna be furious. How about you in that situation? You like that one?
I'm gonna be angry.
I'm a Leva.
You like that one, horse?
How many more does he have? You got any more in the old
Fox
chamber?
Sports went with Rocco Becht, the son of Anthony Becht, who's been on our show a few times. The Iowa State quarterback is their first round.
Anybody
pick.
Else?
Ryan Wilson in his
I bet he's got Nussmeier.
Way too early mock draft. Arizona State quarterback Sam Leavitt. Any of these names do anything for you guys?
You know where I'm at.
Dane Brugler.
Lenoris Sellers are
went
bust.
With Garrett Nussbaum.
Nussmeier.
Paul Nussmeier.
Nussbaum works here.
Sorry.
He's a 5'9".
It can't be Nussbaum because, I mean, he's a good guy, but
good golfer, lefty.
You think he's 5'9"?
He might be 5'7".
Garrett Nussmeier from LSU.
I'll tell you what, Nussbaum would be a great locker room guy because he's always upbeat, cheery.
He is.
He works in sales. He's like, hey, Mulsey, how's it going, brother? And he always wants to, you know, hit you with a fist bump, that kind of thing.
Yeah, those quarterback names don't exactly.
How about Lenoris Sellers?
I don't have anybody with Sellers.
He's going to be gone too early.
What about old Carson Beck? Where's his name falling in?
Oh, God, if they drafted him, it'd be worse than I'm a Leva. Carson Beck sucks, man. No one's going to convince
got
me
got Rich
otherwise.
Playing the NIL game at Georgia and in Miami.
No one's going to convince me that Carson Beck is anything but buns.
But new cars.
He's buns.
He's getting buns from the sounds of things.
I know.
Guy's swimming in buns from what I've heard.
I think that chick broke up with him.
She did?
Yeah, because he was cheating on her with somebody else.
Wasn't she pregnant? No.
No?
She came out and said that's not the story.
Oh, well, then what is the story?
I think it was just something else.
He's kind of a weird-looking dude.
Yeah.
He looks like kind of an ogre.
Well, the scuttle,
and I say that as a guy who's a weird looking.
The
dude.
Scuttlebutt online was buns galore.
Buns, cheeks, cheeks and buns.
All right, let's talk to Dan in New Brighton. Hello, Dan.
Hey guys.
Hey man.
I'm happy as can be that the Steelers didn't go for Shador. Shador Sanders, more like Shador dumbass. I'm happy the Steelers stayed away from him. This guy. Most of the league, along with us, pass on him for good reason. From his dad saying all the crap he did in interviews and Shador sabotaging his interviews, the league saw who this guy truly is, aside from his skill set. You know, you can throw the ball as far as you want, but personality takes into effect in this league, and it's evident. You know, we're dealing with it. You know, people have bad thoughts on George Pickens, just what he's like on the field, off the field, no matter how he plays, so... And I love that the Browns took him simply for the reason that they have to deal with the plethora of off-field stuff. You know, he can flex his Rolex to the dog pound when they're 2-15.
Oh, that's a good line. Thank you, Dan. I like that one. He's throwing, wasn't he, like, after he got drafted in the fifth round, he's having a party where he's throwing, like, Versace bags at people?
I don't know.
Or something like that? There's some
maybe
kind
that
of...
was maybe that was a deal with Versace where no matter where he got picked, he was throwing those bags.
I mean, I will say, though, like to defend Shador in this respect, he hasn't done anything criminal, unlawful. He's not a bad person in that respect. I just think I think what happened is he got the same kind of narcissistic gene that his dad got, and his dad's one of the greatest athletes of all time, and Shador isn't. That passed him by. I don't know if it went to his brothers.
Deion,
I don't know.
No,
if it,
Deion said both of his sons got their mom's genes, was how he explained it. But frankly, if Shador had Deion's athletic ability, as I've said about a dozen times, he probably would have gone number one overall with that kind of foot speed and running ability.
Matt in Bethel Park is next. Hello, Matt.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey,
yeah,
man.
I want to follow up and kind of piggyback on what the last guy was saying. Basically, I don't even want to speak on the personality stuff because there's you can go both ways of it. I know there are people that can't imagine that, but, you know, I want to speak more on the performance side. He really even hasn't done that much. Like, you look at the teams that he played against in college, he played against some of the weakest pass defenses in the Pac-12 before that all got merged up. You know, stat padding, you know, you look at some of his pressures and the drop back hurries that he got. He was turning 5, 7, 8 yard losses into, like, 12, 15-yard losses because he'd be just running around in the backfield not knowing what the hell to do with
the football. A lot of selfish sacks I saw, Matt. People, even the analysts who liked him said, now, I think Dan Orlovsky did a bit where he basically said, if we're going to be honest and look at one of the reasons he might have fallen, and then he did a big cut-up of times he got sacked where he was clearly being like selfish or was not taking what was given to him and was causing his team negative plays as a result.
But Orlovsky still said he should have been a second-round pick.
I think Orlovsky did it strictly in saying, if I were going to make the case as to why he hasn't been taken, here are plays that teams are looking at.
So I put out the number specifically to try to get people to call in and say, hey, I'm a Shadur fan. I think the Steelers screwed this up. He clearly has fans because he's got the number one selling jersey in the NFL right now. And we're 5 minutes into this, and people actually took my solicitation or call to action the exact opposite way I had intended it to go. They can't help themselves but to call in and still just tear the guy down. No, I'm looking for, I guess, apologists or defenders or loyalists, like people that think, no, like, this kid got screwed by the NFL. Mel Kiper Jr. was right. Ryan Clark was right. Lewis Riddick was right. The Steelers were wrong. But I guess the power of our rhetoric, and specifically your rhetoric, Chris, has people convinced that, no, this was
that Mulsey
actually a
rhetoric,
very good thing.
That Mulsey rhetoric rears its head at the most unusual times and in the most unusual circumstances.
Well, I do think, by the way, I do think we have, speaking of rhetoric, we have some clips from Roethlisberger's podcast to play later this hour.
Yeah.
I think he referenced lunatic fringe caller Johnny the Barber and something he said on his podcast.
Get the F out of here.
And I also think he took a shot at you.
Well, that's much more believable.
But in order to take a shot at you,
he had to put over
and to
BFF.
Reference Johnny the Barber, he has to listen to the show. He might hate listen.
Why
might not like what he hears, but he's listening.
Why haven't I built a bridge over to Roethlisberger by saying that, wow, shockingly, I seem to agree with a ton of his post-playing career opinions? You don't think that would thaw the ice there?
I don't know. But just the way that something got said, we'll play it later, and you can tell me if you think he's talking about you with what he said. Here's Michael in Wilkinsburg. Hello, Michael.
Hey, guys.
Hey, mate.
Yeah, I'm here to defend Shadur, man, because I think that the ghost of the Dan Marino 1983 draft still hovers over this team. I think that we picked Kenny Pickett early because we didn't want to, even though most people had him as a third-round talent, and we got burned on that because he wasn't really physically, you know, the most talented kid. So now they're saying, well, physically, athletically, Shador's not the most talented kid either, but I don't care if he has his dad's body. I want his dad's processing speed. He definitely has his dad's brain. So, you know what I mean? I think that, you know, they're talking about Will Howard. Like, this guy's going to be the next Dan Marino.
Well, if he had his dad's brain, how did he go into these job interviews and tank him and screw him up so bad? That wasn't very smart, Michael.
Because he was listening to his dad. He said, I'm not going to the Browns. I mean, his dad told him not to go to the Browns.
Well, that's ironic because that's where he ended up.
Yeah, well, that he didn't choose the Browns.
I mean, I think his dad, Michael, I think his dad did him absolutely no favors by not advising him to just sign with an agent. I think they had too much of an internal echo chamber going as to where he was going to go in the draft, and so he felt like he could do that in the interviews.
Yeah.
Well, how smart is he, though? If you're saying he doesn't want to go to the Browns, how smart is he if that's where he ended up?
I think that he thought he was going to end up with the Giants, and by the time they had humbled him so much by the fifth round, he was just so happy to go anywhere. But we're not talking about how smart he is. We're talking about, can this guy be the next Drew Brees? And I think he's going to be the next Drew Brees. I hear Dan Rooney, the ghost of Dan Rooney, the same way he said, we should have drafted Dan. He's saying we should have drafted Shadur in the fourth.
Wow. Okay, I'm going to put you on hold and give you the Pearl Jam tickets. The ghost of Dan Rooney is walking around the Steelers facilities and going, oh, they should have drafted.
He sounds like Paul Bearer.
They should have drafted Shadur.
Paul Bearer's voice
gonna
is
going to tell
the
them that Kane is coming too.
Your brother Undertaker is coming to exact vengeance.
Michael referencing Pickett there to start, though, I just think is the ultimate, I guess, kind of irony or whatever, because Shadur is Kenny Pickett to me as a prospect.
I know, but I think his point was people see those two as similar, and that's why, like, if Kenny Pickett hadn't flopped here, the fact that he compared to Kenny Pickett wouldn't be necessarily
right.
a bad thing.
I think Kenny Pickett absolutely was in the Steelers' minds when they evaluated Sanders. They said, we can't make the same mistake twice.
All right, it's time for our weekly chat with Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding, your hometown roofing expert. Mike, did the Steelers screw up passing on Shedeur Sanders three times in the NFL draft?
We will find out, and boy, we'll get to find out with the Steelers having to deal with Shedeur Sanders potentially twice per year if he ends up being the starter. Look, they did what they had to do in light of the reality, and it seems like a fact now that it's going to be Aaron Rodgers of Pittsburgh. When Art Rooney speaks, I don't know that there's a whole lot of wiggle room. So they've got their starter coming for this year, and they've got their guy in Will Howard they're going to develop, and we'll just see where it goes. But, yeah, they're going to have to deal with Shedeur very soon if he ends up winning the starting job.
Mike, as the draft unfolded, were you hearing from and or talking and reaching out to people who were expressing surprise that he hadn't been picked as day one ended, as day two ended? Like, what reaction were you getting behind the scenes from any of your league people or just people in the NFL broadly about the slide for Sanders as it was happening in real time?
I was trying to figure out where the floor was. And going into the third day, there was a belief he was going to go in round four. And I knew of one team that was very interested in round four. I think at some point the question becomes, was the interest mutual? And I wouldn't be surprised if there were more than one team that might have wanted to take him but got a vibe that he didn't want to go there. And, you know, you could look at a lot of teams where he would be a valuable backup to an established starter. I don't know that that's where he'd want to go, where, you know, there's a chance for him to go and compete to play. It would make sense. At a certain point, it was just a good value. You have your best available players, and Shedeur Sanders is number one, and the gap is getting bigger and bigger with every pick between Shedeur and everyone else. At some point, it makes sense to say, we'll throw a fourth, a fifth, a sixth on this guy who will be our insurance policy against our established starter. The problem is he doesn't play unless the starter gets injured. So I wouldn't be surprised if he said no to one or more teams through whoever on the third day of the draft. And obviously he wasn't going to say no to the Browns because that's such a place where you look at the other quarterbacks that are on the roster, and Deshaun Watson will not be on the roster this year. He'll be on the physically unable to perform list. You're competing with Kenny Pickett, Joe Flacco, and Dylan Gabriel. Shedeur Sanders probably looks at that and says, I like my odds.
Mike, when we talked last week, it was the day before the draft, and you said it would be an interesting time after all these years for the Steelers to start putting up smoke screens. Everyone said, at the very least, Mike Tomlin likes Shedeur Sanders. That was repeated everywhere. Are we now to believe that Mike Tomlin actually did not like Shedeur Sanders? Is that logical?
No, I think that Mike Tomlin likes Aaron Rodgers better and prefers to not have the potential for a three-ring circus with Aaron Rodgers and Shedeur Sanders in the building. And I think that's what became a problem. After Shedeur Sanders falls past the spot where he's clearly your starter coming in, you get yourself in a situation where I've got a starter and I've got a backup who's going to suck a lot of the oxygen out of the room, who's going to be the focal point of a lot of questions, interviews, comments, etc. Do we want that? And the Steelers apparently didn't like him enough to pivot from this plan of Aaron Rodgers plus Mason Rudolph plus Will Howard this year with no one there to take away from the fact that Aaron Rodgers is going to be the centerpiece of attention. So, you know, at some level, it would have been hard to say no to Shedeur Sanders and you just make it work. But once Art Rooney said what he said, It sure looked like they were going to be grabbing a guy late round developmental, and they weren't going to take Shedeur Sanders in a spot where people would be like, well, I don't know. Maybe they don't want Aaron Rodgers. Or maybe, you know, if they struggle this year at some point, maybe we put Shedeur Sanders on the field. I think that's a very real dynamic. Even though it's unlikely the Steelers are going to be out of it come November, December, you don't want to have Aaron Rodgers, possibly final season, out of contention as a practical matter. Hey, we got this other guy. Let's see what he has.
Mike, can you take people through why the discipline, the fines, were what they were for Jeff Ulbrich and the Falcons for the prank call that Jax Ulbrich sent to Shedeur Sanders and how that came about? For people curious why that was adjudicated that way versus any other prank call we've been made aware of in this draft.
Well, I mean, the easy answer is no, because the NFL makes it up as it goes along. But the more accurate answer here is the team's fingerprints were on this. Ulbrich's fingerprints were on this. The team admitted it at best. And I don't know if the Falcons statement from Sunday is true. It's possibly the most innocuous way possible they could characterize what happened. Oh, there's an open iPad. Oh, the 21-year-old son of the defensive coordinator sees it and writes down Shedeur Sanders' number and files it away for a prank call to be made later that week. Well, you get punished because you failed to secure confidential information. Now, the league had a role in this, and I've seen some reporting from people who likely got a text or a call or an email from the league with the league's version saying, hey, we sent out that memo with every player's phone number on it, and it's clearly confidential. We can't control what the team does, who they give it to, but if they breach it, they're going to be in trouble. That's not accurate in this case, because I've got both of the communications, because I was curious about this as it happened. One, there's a memo that was sent last Wednesday with the names and phone numbers of the 16 players who were at the draft, the 24 who participated virtually, and 5 international players who were present in Green Bay. All those numbers were on a traditional memo communicated to a fairly small range of people. Then, that same day, an email goes out with a new number for Shedeur Sanders, and they send it to the same distribution list that gets the daily transaction report, the waiver wire, as they call it. Well, that's everyone. That's all the assistant coaches. That's people in the personnel departments. The NFL sent that email to Jeff Ulbrich. This wasn't the Falcons saying, let's see, maybe Jeff Ulbrich needs to know Shedeur Sanders' phone number in the event that we're going to draft him to go along with Michael Penix Jr. Everybody got that. That's how Ulbrich had that. And so if nothing else happens, the NFL needs to revisit its procedures and say, who do we send this to? And you only need to send it to 3 people, owner, GM, coach per team. You could send it to 1 person per team. It's a need-to-know thing, and the NFL needs to go back and button up. And the idea that the Falcons went rogue and for some reason shared this information with Jeff Ulbrich, that is false.
Mike Florio, check him out, ProFootballTalk.com, PFT Live. Thank you, Mike. We'll talk again next week.
See you guys.